I'm David Weller. I'm a community manager for the Windows Graphics and Gaming Technology Group. And we're here talking to Steve Lacey. And Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and just kind of some brief history about your career at Microsoft and before that.
So I guess some of the guys watching Channel 9, well, it's in the Flight Sim video
we did
a while ago. So I'm working on Flight Sim at the moment. I'm the software architect dude and mainly the graphics engine lead. So that's what I kind of do now. And it was really cool because about a month ago, the DirectX team came and asked me if I wanted to come talk about Flight Sim Meltdown, about what we're doing with the next version of DirectX, which was kind of cool for me because they've been touting like this is the 10-year anniversary of DirectX. Okay. So that's fun. And that's what I used to work on. I used to work at a small 3D startup in the UK called Randomorphics. I think we were like about six people and an admin, and all six people and marketing. So there's six developers, one woman who's marketing, PR, and everything else that the developers didn't want to do, and one admin. It was great. And then in February 95, which was a few months after I joined the company, we got bought by Microsoft. And
was that completely unexpected?
No. There were, at that time, there were three API companies that were targeting the games or interactive multimedia or whatever they wanted to call it at the time. The nomenclature at the time was really weird. But games. And they were all doing software rasterizers. There was no 3D hardware unless you were like on a high-end multi-tens of thousands of dollars box, which you all know all about.
Yeah.
And so there were three companies that did software rasterizers and 3D APIs. And we were all based in the UK and we were all in London. I'm not sure where Criterion were. I think they were just outside of London. But there was us, Randomorphics, with our API Reality Lab. There was Argonaut with their API B-Render, and there was Criterion with RenderWare. Criterion, everyone knows RenderWare now, and now EAO owns them. But it was like, you know, it was kind of unsure who was going to be the winner, really. I mean, people were choosing different APIs for different things, and we knew like Microsoft was like kind of sniffing around, and they came and did a sort of evaluation of our stuff. And actually, some teams in Microsoft were actually using our stuff. There was the VRML browser that was, I think it was in like IE 2.0, used our stuff. There was a team. Do you remember Talisman?
Vaguely.
Talisman was a hardware initiative.
Yeah.
Out of research, they had a 3D. They had a sort of functional API called Apelles. I think it was called Apelles at the time, and they were using our stuff. So we had some good knowledge, some good recognition in Microsoft, I think. But anyway, at the end of the day, they bought us, and that was fun. I was just a developer at that point, so I didn't get to participate in the buyout. So,
so
sniff.
Let me ask you a couple questions then about DirectX as it was then. I mean, was it really the case that what Randomorphics was and what that that API was, is it really literally what DirectX was at the beginning?
No.
Or did it change quite a bit?
No, it's changed a lot. I mean, at that point, so we're talking February 95, DirectX 1 hadn't been released yet. It was really called at that point it was called the Games SDK. And it had a few components. There was DirectDraw, Direct Play, Direct Sound. I'm not sure whether Direct Input was in it at that point. Direct Input may have come later. But basically, I mean, the main foundation was Direct Draw. And the real thing behind DirectX, I mean, DirectX was a skunkworks project, right? I mean, there was two guys, sort of basically, you know, there was Craig Eisler and Eric Engstrom hiding away in the porting lab, hiding from their bosses, basically making this thing work. They had game developers like no one thought about like games on Windows. I mean, what's that all about, right? I mean, everyone was working, it was like targeting DOS, and Windows 95 was just about to come out, and like needed this massive push. I mean, this is my understanding of the situation. We needed like a massive push, like we needed people off of DOS and onto Windows. And there was like limited support for direct access to the hardware in Windows. I mean, the whole point was abstraction, right? There was like DiskDib and WinG was around. There was the whole VFlapD driver model, which exposed. I mean, you've got to understand at that point, the hardware, there was no 3D hardware. We just had, literally, it was just 2D hardware. And it was exposed in a bank switch manner so that you could only access, I think it was like 640K at the time. I can't remember exactly what it was, but anytime you like crossed that boundary, it would cause a page fault and really bad stuff would happen. So there was no linear access to the memory. There wasn't like, here's the start of the surface and here's the start of memory and here's the end of memory and you can do whatever you want in the middle. That didn't, you just couldn't do that. And what Direct Draw did and still does, which is just a phenomenal piece of engineering by Craig Eisner, was to expose all these myriad pieces of hardware in a single API fashion, rather than everyone having to write their own driver effectively under DOS. And it was great, and it was fast. I remember the first time, so the Game Developers Conference in 95, in Santa Clara, we had tacked on a couple of days, DirectX team tacked on a couple of days to basically announce, to show DirectX or the Games SDK. It was called that. That was when, like, actually, I should have worn it today. I still got my T-shirt, the DirectX T-shirt from there. It was the big radiation symbol logo, and it was a radiation symbol logo. It wasn't a propeller, okay? And like a skeleton on the back, basically blown away by like a nuclear blast, because that was the whole thing. We were kind of like, was kind of Renegade. And if you actually read the book Renegades of the Empire, you'll actually get a lot of this backstory. I should have worn that today. Damn. Where was I going? So we showed, there was a demo that ATI actually wrote called Foxbear, and we had permission to use that and whatever. And it was showing like a full screen, like Windows out of the way, GDI out of the way, full screen. Demo of like basically a 2D side scroller running at like 200 hertz, which was just never been seen before, even really under DOS. And like those guys, I remember I was sat in the audience at the time for this, and I could hear developers like going like, "That's not real. That's fake. That's fake." And then literally people, the realization coming over people's faces that this was a refresh rate like title running under Windows 95. Which was still in beta at the time, and they were just astounded, and they got like a standing ovation for it. It was absolutely brilliant time to be involved. So at that point, then we got bored. This was still before any 3D hardware was around, and we retargeted our API to use Direct Draw as our surface management. At the time, we would talk to, you know, Windows Divs and all that sort of. That sort of stuff. We targeted at Direct Draw. We moved from a handle-based API to a COM-based API, and we split our API effectively. What Reality Lab was a retained mode API, and internally we had this driver layer where we would like write the bottom part to like talk to this particular piece of hardware or this particular piece of hardware or this particular piece of hardware. We cut that, exposed that up. And that's what became Direct3D at the time in media mode. And then what was the old API became Direct3D retained mode. And then, what happened after that? So we weren't ready to ship with the first version of DirectX by any stretch of the imagination. So they shipped, I think it was October. It was in October 95. It was after that they weren't, I mean, DirectX wasn't ready to ship with Windows 95. But that team also, like, there was part of the multimedia team. They had, like, a responsibility for, like, the PMP stuff with audio hardware and video hardware and that sort of stuff. So they shipped an event called Judgment Day, which we had up at the Red West campus. And like the car park like got just like torn down, turned into a like massive roller coaster ride where like different like companies got to like do their own particular room. And I think it was the Doom guys had like Guar designer room that was just like so wrong, it was untrue. And those were like in the glory days of our like evangelism, like Alex and John running that.
Very good to the Empire. I think that episode was talked about in the book.
I think that's in the book. But the day after, so there was the Judgment Day event where we had like, so we had a video, that started off with like, it was Doom. And like this guy was running around, blah, 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 blah. And it turned that then like the character walks into the video, it turns out to be Bill. And like, so we got Bill in this video, and I don't think Microsoft PR have ever let that video escape anywhere. I haven't seen it since, and I haven't seen it after that.
So let me ask you a little bit more about the Direct3D part. Mm-hmm. One of the things is that, of course, there's kind of two primary worlds of 3D development. There's DirectX and there's OpenGL right now. So one of the frequent criticisms or discussion points is about kind of the old left-handed versus right-handed system stuff. So there's two parts to this question. One is, can you maybe give a little bit of history about why it is the DirectX use a left-hand coordinate system? And then the follow-on to that is, does it really matter? Are those arguments, are they red herrings anymore?
Right, so so OpenGL and most other things like use what's called a right-handed coordinate system. It's kind of easy terms. Now it's kind of like which way the angle go, whether you're using this hand to do like X, Y, and Z, or this hand to do like X, Y, and Z, or Z. I keep saying Z these days. And so most other things are right-handed, and Direct3D is left-handed. It inherits that from Reality Lab. We were a left-handed system. It was in place before I came to RenderMorphics, but the basic reasoning behind it was it just kind of seemed to make more sense, or maybe it's because we were British, I don't know. But like, it just seems to make more sense to me that like, you know, X goes away from you that way, Y goes away from you that way, and Z goes away from you into the monitor. And then there's the winding rule about which way like an angle goes, does it go that way or does it go that way. So it's kind of just all for hysterical reasons. But at the end of the day, it makes no damn difference. You can be left-handed or right-handed. A left-handed system can use right-handed models. It's just a change in the projection matrix and a change in the way you deal with culling modes and that sort of thing. In fact, Reality Lab in one of its the Direct3D retained mode, which sadly doesn't ship anymore. Actually had a switch. There was an API call you could make that says be right-handed or be left-handed. And it's really just it's a non-starter really of an issue.
If somebody wanted to get started in the gaming business right now or in the graphics programming business, what kind of advice would you give them?
Math. Math is good. Not that you actually have to like do it, but you have to like understand it, right? It's really useful, especially now. You know, anyone can draw a triangle. You can fire up. There's so much sample stuff out there. Anyone can like get a model of some 3D articulated Smins character and make it dance and run around on the screen. The real trick, it's more artistic in the it's developing shaders. It's like thinking, how can I take that thing I'm seeing in the real world? How can I get that really incredibly sort of diffuse specular reflection that I'm seeing on this tablet's like screen? How can I represent that? Because we're still not there. We're not doing ray tracing yet, right? And then arguably me. May not even ever want to do that, but how do I replicate how the light's behavior? How do I make the lighting work? And that's really you've got to understand like the math about what's going to be going behind there. You've got to be able to read like the cigarette papers. You've got to somehow understand what on earth Peter Pike Sloan's talking about, and like finally grok it at some point. And that requires a strong math foundation. And then it's just like normal core coding skills. It's like with graphics, as much as anything else, it's you've got to write stuff that's efficient, small, fast. You're talking about writing programs, which a shader is just a program that like runs millions and millions of times a second on every single pixel, maybe multiple times on the hardware, and you've got to understand that stuff. There's many ways to start. I mean, there's so many resources out there. The managed DirectX stuff these days is a great starting point, and for a lot of people a great finishing point as well. People are shipping titles using it. We internally in Flight Sim use managed DirectX stuff, managed code and managed DirectX stuff in a lot of our tools.
Kind of tools?
Things that will take like raw data coming from ARCs, manipulate it, munge it, spit it out into an in-game format, viewers, things that check models for problems, manifold mesh checks, that sort of stuff. And Magic Code is just a great way to do that. It's fast and it works and it's really quick to build stuff. And it's a lot of those tools have UI, right? And as anyone else knows, it's like coding UI in MFC ain't fun. It's really, really easy using C# and the whole Windows Form stuff. And who knows what's happening with like Apple and that sort of stuff. But
I think we're out of time now.
So I rambled.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do appreciate your time, Steve, and thanks for sitting down and talking to Channel 9 about computer graphics.
You're welcome.
Thanks.